Thank you so much to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves.
I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm PMSing, I feel beyond off. Like, something is not right when I'm PMSing. And ever since I started Hormone Harmony, I swear it has changed my life.
Like, I'm not even kidding you. Before I experienced Hormone Harmony, I was getting the most insane cravings, bloating, feeling super off randomly, and even sometimes not getting good quality sleep. And y'all know how important sleep is to me. Like, it is my number one thing. So I wanted to take the reins on my health, specifically my hormone health. And that's why I started taking Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. There are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
If you don't know what Hormone Harmony is, let me just tell you. It supports hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas. It even can relieve mood swings. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MOVES at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MOVES, M-O-V-E-S, code MOVES for 15% off today.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, welcome back to Making Moves. I am here with Sally Dar.
Woo! Hi.
Crowd goes wild. Wait, Sally Dar.
Yes.
People call you Sally Dar. Is that where you're born and raised? Sally Dar?
Yeah, so it's confusing. So if I was filling out an application, it would be first name Sally, middle name Dar, last name Griffin. But if someone's like, what's your name? Sally Dar. So everyone
copy. So it's like an Anna Grace.
It's like moment. Yeah, it's like Mary Catherine, Anna Grace, like any of those. But it just throws people because no one's heard of Dar. It's a family name. But
yes.
Yeah, Sally Dar.
It's kind of iconic.
Thanks. I think it's a really good stage name for sure.
Like, no, it literally sounds like if Dolly Parton like had a kid.
Right.
Sally Dar.
I don't have to like change. Like some people like come up with stage names. Yeah. Don't have to do that. Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. Sally Dar, I'm not going to lie, I like realized that kind of recently.
Yeah, no, it happens. And like I respond to Sally because I know it's like hard to like get into it, you know?
But do you ever say like, actually it's Sally Dar?
No, I actually never really correct people, but a lot
Why?
Of my like-
you should.
I know I should.
Because then I'm like an idiot.
I know. Normally my friends do. Like my close friends will be like, hey, by the way, her name's Sally Dar. And then I'm like, now I feel bad because now my friends are like, these just like- people protecting me, being like, hey, just so you know. But I also think it's great because then, like, the people that know me, like, now you know.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah,
it's, like, a good indicator of, like, who really knows.
Sally Dar is such a phenomenal name.
Yeah.
I genuinely can't think of anyone that has a better, like, natural name.
That's kind. My sister's name is better, actually.
What?
Her name is Mary Woodruff, like, Wood, R-U-F-F, but people call her Woody, like, from Toy Story. I know.
Wait, so that's her middle name?
Yeah, same as me. Like, same kind of, like, her name, Mary Woodruff, but...
So
first,
are
middle.
Middle names a common theme in, like, your family?
I guess. It's just me and my sister, actually. My dad, his name is John Mark, which I feel like men don't have double names that
Whoa.
Often.
Okay.
But, yeah.
I've heard of John Luke.
Yeah, similar. I don't know. It's not, like, a thing, but I guess so. It's a
Sally
Southern
Dar.
Thing. It's a Southern thing.
It is
thing.
A Southern thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of Southern, you're from Tennessee?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you went to Tulane.
I did.
You smarty pants.
Oh, really? Thank you. Yeah. People are, what do they call it? Like the Harvard of the South?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I guess, but I feel like that's Vanderbilt. Uh-huh.
I feel like all my, like, really smart friends went there. And
that's
it's
kind.
Like, the best part about it, too, is it's, like, low key. I feel like not many people know that it's, like, the Harvard of the South. Because Harvard, everyone, it has this, like, big name, but Tulane means, like, you're low key. Forking smart.
Yeah, but then you're just drinking all the time. That's what it feels like.
I'm dead.
You went to Indiana, right?
No.
No, you went to... No.
I went to Fidham.
Oh, okay. But you just love everything
well,
Indiana.
Well, my hometown is Bloomington, where IU
right.
is.
Gotcha.
So, like, I grew up basically going there, and I just wanted to get out. I wanted to go to LA, because I was just born and raised my whole high school, like, migrated there.
Yeah, makes sense. I've been to Bloomington one time.
What?
I went there... While I was at Tulane for some, like, Greek conference thing, and it was just, like, at Indiana, but they, like, wouldn't let us leave. I forget what sorority house we stayed at. We stayed in a sorority house, and they wouldn't let us leave. Like,
Whoa.
I was like, can we not just, like, go on a walk?
Was it, like, a panhell thing?
Yeah.
What sorority were you in?
Kappa Kappa Gamma.
Oh.
But I just, like, went because they just needed someone to go, and I was like, okay.
KKG,
And
baby.
I went with this other girl, and it was, like, fine, but it was, like, miserable because they wouldn't let us leave this house.
Yeah, that's weird.
It was really weird. But so I've all this to say.
The Kappa house at IU is pretty.
I don't think it was that one. I
oh, okay.
wish I could tell you which one it was.
You studied, what, English and film?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when you went to Tulane and you were studying that, what did you realistically think you were going to be or do when you graduated?
Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, so going into Tulane, I always knew I wanted to major in English. Like, I knew that since junior year of high school.
Because
so
you're a writer, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I knew I was going to do that.
Interesting.
So I kind of just did that major, was basically done with that major, and then I kind of was taking classes that could apply to a bunch of different things, and I kind of waited till the 11th hour to decide what the second major was. So I was taking classes that had – it could apply to, like, communications or film studies or, like, it could apply to a bunch of different things.
Uh-huh.
And then I just decided to do film, and I actually kind of hated it. I don't know what I thought I was going to do. I worked at the Tulane Alumni House, and I loved that. So I knew realistically I could just, like, work for Tulane, and I love New Orleans, and I knew I could do that.
Uh-huh. Do you like the South?
Yeah, I love the South.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, there are pockets of it that are better than others. Mm-hmm. But, like, love New Orleans, loved where I grew up.
I want to go there.
You should. You'd have so much
and
fun.
And my guy friend plays for the Saints, so I need to go. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's, yeah, you need to go. You need to go.
I've never been.
You should go.
Okay.
Literally
we should
a game.
Go together.
Please. Well, both of my roommates are from New Orleans, and then two of my other friends.
Wait, they live here?
Mm-hmm.
Shut up.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's so weird. Our whole friend group is, like, Louisiana, Texas, Alabama, and then me and Aspen are, like, Tennessee, and then Brooke is Philadelphia. But, like, everyone's from the South.
That's crazy.
It's so weird how it happened.
And then I'm Indiana.
Indiana,
I've inserted myself in the front group.
No, that's great. That's great. You and Brooke are the outliers.
Yeah, we're the outliers.
Do you know what I did after college? I don't know how much research you did on me.
Wait, no, I don't think I do.
I had this whole plan starting my junior year of college. Have you heard of the show Below Deck?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I love reality TV. I was not on Blow Deck. Sorry, before anyone
Wait,
starts thinking
I just
I was
got
on Blow
asked
Deck.
To be on one of those. Did I tell you this?
No. What show?
Fork. Wait, do we remember what it... Let me look at my email. I'm not kidding.
Was
I think it might have been that one. Was that the one where they're on a yacht and they...
Yeah. It's like you work... Oh my... Were they scout... They scout people to work on the boats now?
I think I just got it like... Yeah, Below Deck. I said no. It's on Bravo, right?
No, you should say no. And I'll tell you why.
Well, I... okay.
No, I mean,
okay,
I don't
explain. I said no because I was just like, what is this? I'm scared.
Yeah, that's so interesting that they're like scouting people for it because normally I feel like they just like pick people that are already like training to be that and then just like, You know what I mean?
I feel like everything's fake, right?
Probably. Yeah, I don't know much about the Bravo aspect of like the yachting industry, whatever.
See, I was mostly scared because like I don't know anything about the show, but I was mostly scared about potentially being in my bikini and I'm not editing the footage. Oh, like that is terrifying.
We were watching Too Hot to Handle the other day and I was like, anyone that's auditioning to be on a reality show, like, you have to be comfortable just, like, being in a bathing suit all the time.
Yeah.
Like, that's really the reason I'm not on reality TV. Otherwise, I would be there.
It's okay. We'll be on Housewives one day.
Ah, that's the goal.
Yeah.
That's the dream.
Okay, so what were we going to do after college? I'm so interested now.
I watched Below Deck, and I always looked at it, and I thought, this is... You don't have to pay rent, okay? You travel the world. You don't have to pay for food or anything. So it's basically just, like, a salary into your pocket, okay? And I always thought... I didn't go abroad... Well, at Tulane, because I just didn't really want to leave New Orleans. And a lot of people went abroad because everyone else was going abroad and they were afraid to like be alone in New Orleans. But I stayed in New Orleans. But I wanted to do something after school, like kind of equivalent to a gap year. And so I had this whole plan that I was going to move to Fort Lauderdale and work on a boat. And
basically,
I wasn't on Below Deck, but like do what they did on Below Deck.
Yeah.
Didn't really know
like
what
just
I was.
Cosplay Below Deck.
No, literally, I was just cosplaying. I love cosplaying.
Cosplaying. Yeah. A stewardess.
No, actually, I did that. I did that for, I think I did it for like six.
Yeah, you actually did it?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So I moved. So I graduated spring 2018, was home for like basically all of summer. And at that point, I really didn't want to go. Like I was like in my soul, I knew that I didn't want to go, but it was like this plan that I had for over a year, didn't have anything else to do, and my mom was just kind of like, hey, it's time. So I packed up my bags, drove to Fort Lauderdale.
Shut up.
Lived in, there are these crew houses that like, basically like a hostel, but it's for people in the crew industry. Lived in a crew house, just like going to agencies, like applying online.
This is iconic.
Ended up getting a job, working on a boat. For a few months, the boat ended up selling, so that was kind of... I didn't like it, by the way. Did not like my experience.
Wait, working on the boat, was it like a yacht?
Yeah.
And then was it kind of like privately owned by like billionaires, or was it like somewhat like people would rent out?
Yeah, so there's like charter, which is like Below Deck, where people like rent it, like how you would, like an Airbnb, whatever, but ours was privately owned. So if the owners weren't using it, we were just at the dock.
Shut up.
Yeah, so I would just like, I would just sleep like at the dock, and we were based out of West Palm Beach.
And they were just like really rich people that owned a yacht.
Mm-hmm.
And they would go out and just like dilly dally on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you were in charge of like making sure like there was tight ship run.
Yeah. I mean, I was third stewardess. But so I was like bottom of the totem pole. So just like turning down sheets, cleaning toilet bowls. Yeah. Vacuuming just like flecks of dust in the air. Like I have never really, you think that you know how to clean. You don't. Like there's so much more you could be doing to clean. Like Q-tips in hinges. Like, insane. So yeah, it was a good experience. And I feel like I learned how to just like be a mom, honestly. Like it felt like mom boot camp.
Domestic.
Yeah, like I just really know how to do a lot now.
Whoa.
And obviously like a lot of good, like, you know, story material that I, you know, don't use online, but just like, you know, it's a conversation starter.
Have you ever done like a series talking about this? I feel like this would be such a good bit, like for you.
Yeah. And people that do know, I mean, I don't talk about it that often, obviously, but it's just like kind of the thing. I mean, obviously there's like NDAs. I would never talk about like who I worked for, like what I did, but like, I don't know. It's kind of, I would talk about it, but it's, I don't know.
Oh, I think it's so hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. I could talk about it more. It's just like such a strange blip
that
in my life.
That is such a good like fun fact about you.
Yeah. And I truly believe, I mean, I think I would have gotten, I finished that and then I went to grad school and I interviewed for my like film school while I was on the boat and I've sold it. Like I was just like, oh, like I'm just like floating in the ocean, like just fully like selling that. I think that's why I got into grad school, honestly.
Shut up.
I mean, maybe I should give myself more credit. Maybe I would have gotten in regardless, but they loved it. Like I checked in on orientation day and one of my professors, she was like, can't wait to work on that script about the boat with you. Like
truly,
they were like, this is what you're writing because this is what you sold
crazy.
To us.
Yeah. Okay, so then is this LMU you were applying to?
Yes, LMU. I applied to a few places, but LMU is where I ended up going. Yeah.
And then did you move here? When did the panty happen in all this?
So I started at LMU fall 2019, did that home for Christmas, back, and then like for a few months, and then the pandemic hit, home in Tennessee throughout that. And then that's,
started TikTok.
That's when like TikTok. I mean, I was on TikTok like fall 2019, but TikTok really took off like – March 2020 and then like through the summer is like
when my account. Did it take off for you?
I was bored and I was posting every day, and it was like, I mean, you definitely know this, that it was just like keeping me up at night.
Yeah.
Like I could not go to bed without posting a video that like hit X number of views or like,
really?
I was like, or I just like was, it was, I would eat dinner with my parents and then I would be like, okay, I'm going upstairs. And they knew I was going upstairs to write and film a TikTok. Like they knew, like it was just like clockwork. Like it was
this
just
crazy.
Like, it was just, and
I love strategic
Sally Dar. I
look back
on it very fondly, but I'm also like, that was crazy that it was just every, my whole thought process was always just like, what's the next idea, which
okay.
I love.
Walk us through this because I heard this on a podcast and I thought it was so fascinating. You said you woke up in the morning during COVID. You woke up in the morning and you were very particular about, you said there was a term, active something.
Oh my God, you did.
You're very particular about things that surrounded you in the morning and you would pay attention to it. So for instance, you were like a scratch on the floor, a particle of dust.
Yeah.
A like piece of clothing on the floor. Like explain that to me. What is that called and what does that mean?
I don't know what it's called, but I really think that behavior that I was doing, I love Seinfeld, and I love Seinfeld because I think it's like very like observational comedy. So like Jerry Seinfeld always takes something that like happens to everyone, but you just don't think about too much. Like everyone, I don't know, this is so boring, but like everyone like loses a sock in a dryer.
Yeah.
Like everyone experiences that. And like, obviously like, we all know that's like a universal truth,
yeah.
But something that's a little bit like less talked about than like losing a
like
sock in a dryer.
The mundane things
that like happens to everyone and someone points it out and they're like, wait, that's insane that this thing happens to everyone. And like, that's hilarious. And so I'd really just like try to like go through my day of like trying to like observe those like really, really mundane things and being like, does this happen to everyone? Can I make this funny? Can I make this relatable?
That's so
really just like
interesting.
active observational humor is
yes.
like what I was trying to do, because that's always what I admired. Like
when you were doing that prior to this, had you been so into writing and comedy that you noticed that was a form of comedy and you were like, let me try and practice this?
Yeah. Well, I've always loved comedy, and like applying to film school, all of this, even if I was like writing a dramatic script, like it was always going to be like a dark comedy. Like it was going to be something like Barry, which is like a dramatic TV show, but like also clearly very funny. Like always loved comedy, always wanted to do something in the comedy space. So I always knew, I always just like loved the internet. And so when TikTok came along, I was like, no one's on this. I got to get on this now, because I have always wanted to be a YouTuber. I wanted to I just needed a foot in the door, and the internet is always like such an accessible way for like
the best way to get your foot in the door.
A girl sitting in her bedroom in Tennessee that like can't be in LA auditioning or be networking, like the internet was my foot in the door, because it was the only way to get your foot in the door when you're living in a pandemic in your bedroom in Tennessee.
It still is.
Yeah, and it
like,
still is.
Dead ass.
Yeah.
So you always loved comedy. When did you realize your love for comedy?
I don't know how far back I'm allowed to go. I mean, I just think like I've always been, just in my family dynamic, what my mom always said, like when something bad happened, I was always the one that was like trying to make a joke when like things were uncomfortable, which is like, I feel like every comedian always kind of says that. Like,
no,
oh,
but
I was,
it's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I think, not like I knew I wanted to do comedy back then, but I think that I've always, do you remember those things on Facebook where people would, it was a photo of, you know, all the different characters of a TV show or whatever, and it would have like the funny one, the athletic
yes!
one.
Oh my gosh, I
yeah.
miss those.
Yeah.
We those. Should recreate that.
Yeah, we should.
For the internet,
we
for
should.
Twitter and shit.
Yeah. But that one, like, I was always tagged as the funny one, and if I wasn't tagged as the funny one, I was upset. Like,
shut
I think that's,
up.
I always wanted to be the funny one in the friend group. And if I wasn't, that was upsetting.
Got
if no
it.
One tagged me as that.
So interesting.
Yeah. So I don't think I always knew I wanted to do comedy, but I always knew I wanted to be the funny one
okay.
in the room.
That makes
yeah.
way more sense.
Yeah.
And then when did you realize, oh, I like being the funny one to, oh, I want to make this into a career? Like, when was that realization? Or I guess, how did you have that realization, that come to Jesus moment?
I think I always, before TikTok came along, so I started posting on YouTube spring of my senior year at Tulane. So it's spring 2018. So that's before The Boat, before TikTok. I mean, maybe musically.
You started posting on what?
YouTube.
Okay.
So, like, I always wanted to, like, make content that was like had a funny edge, but I didn't really know what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. Basically what I'm trying to say, you
yeah.
marinate for a second. I really am big on like trying to hone in on what you're good at as fast as possible. Like I wish I would have honed in on what I was good at way earlier in life, But I just, and I kind of knew that I was good at, but I didn't rip the Band-Aid off because I was like afraid about what other people would think. Mm-hmm. And I want to like teach people, if you have an inkling about something, like you have to go for it and try it. Because like, think if you would have started your YouTube and taken it seriously with comedy like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Like dead ass.
I wish.
Right? Yeah. We all wish. So I'm like, how did you have that come to Jesus moment and realize, oh shit, like I could make this into a career? You know what I mean?
Yeah. What I always say when people are always like, how do you... Like, how did you become TikTok famous or how did you... I literally just knew. Like, it was like this feeling in my soul. I was like, this is going to work because I know it's going to work, which is how when someone feels that way about anything, yeah, you're like, well, it's going to work. Like, yeah, one of my friends that's doing stand-up, he has the same attitude about stand-up. He's like, I'm going to be a stand-up comedian because I have to be and because I know I will be. And I'm like, love and I believe energy. You. And I know you will be. And uh-huh, that's how I felt about TikTok. I was like, I will have a blue check mark and this is what I'm going to do. Yeah. And I just know. And it was every day. It was like... that, like, every day making a video to get closer to like that,
love it,
TikTok famous label, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. So you would wake up in the morning, let's go to this part. Mm-hmm. You wake up in the morning and tell me your day, like tell me what you're thinking. I want to know everything
in the middle of like height pandemic.
This,
like,
is so mind-boggling to me, the way you... I don't understand comedy, the comedy world. It's so fascinating to me because, yeah, I don't know much about it.
I mean, I don't think I know. I mean, I guess
you
I know
way
more
than I do.
Yeah, but yeah, not everything. Like height pandemic, like when I was in Tennessee, I would wake up. I think I would, like, go on a walk with my mom and the dogs, just, like, around, come home, and just, like, I would just think throughout the day. I would do – like, I was in school also, so I'd have, like, Zoom classes and stuff too.
At LMU?
Yeah. Okay. Because Zoom – like, in the spring and then summer, just, you know, not Zoom classes, obviously. But I would just, like, watch TV throughout the day. I would watch a lot of stand-up on Netflix, like, see how they constructed jokes, like – see their tone of their, like, I was just like watching so much
stuff.
You were
studying
and just like thinking a lot. And then at night, my cutoff was always like midnight. I was like, you have to post. This was Eastern time too, so I was like, you have to post something before midnight. And I would just, I don't know, just like a lot of just like, it sounded like just a lot of like walking around and thinking and like watching shows. I used to pace in my bedroom at night. After I would eat dinner, I would go up, not every night, but like most nights, go upstairs, turn on like a stand-up special, and I would pace around my room, and I would literally just like scroll on Instagram, see like, because I used to do a lot of like humor that was very like rooted in like making fun of like millennial Gen Z girls. So I would scroll on Instagram and I would see like what's like the fashion trend I could make fun of, or like, yeah, what's like, I don't know, like I would just like scroll and like scroll on my phone, think of things, listen to how they were, and just pace until I had an idea, yeah, and then I would go film it in my bathtub. Which, wait, is like another whole thing.
Okay. I want to go back though to the when you would wake up and you saw the particle of dust. Uh-huh. Would you just marinate that on that all day?
I would write it down.
Okay, you would write it down where, yeah, in your notes?
Notes, yeah.
Your phone notes.
Yeah.
And you would be like particle of dust and then your idea maybe, or just you'd write down the object.
Brooke and Connor always call it a seed. Like, they're like, that's a seed. Like, the particle of dust.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, like, that's a seed. I don't know where it's going. I don't know how it's going to grow, what plant it is, but, like, it is a seed.
That's so good.
Yeah, and I didn't call it that until I met them, but they always called it a seed.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then is that, like, a comedy thing? Like, you guys all realizing that's a seed? Is that just a comedy thing?
Yeah. I think just, like, I mean, I don't know why I'm talking about Jerry Seinfeld so much, but I think most comedians are, as soon as you have a thought and you're like, that's kind of funny, you need to write it down immediately.
Okay.
Because if you don't write it down immediately, you're going to forget. And yeah, I think that's one thing that
me with
Jerry
every
Seinfeld
idea
literally uses, like, college, what's it called? Legal pads. Like, whoa, very old fashioned. He uses, like, legal pads. And, like, but everyone now just uses their phone. But you have to write it down as soon as you – because I'll have times where I'm, like, going to bed and I think of something. I'm like, oh, I remember it in the morning. I wake up, don't remember it.
Literally me.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, it's a comedy thing, but it's a human thing.
It's a human,
like,
thing.
Like, you need to write it down, yeah, as soon as you think of it.
I have plenty of seeds, not comedy-wise, but, like, even of ideas of TikToks I want to do.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I don't know what I want to – if I want to do a vlog, or if I want that to be a Leisha thing, or if I want that to be a me thing. Or, like, there's a lot of times where I'll just, like – text random other creators. I'm like, you got to use this.
Yeah.
If it's better than for me.
Yeah.
Or if
it's
I
a creative person
but
thing.
Like, yes,
to like,
but
yeah,
like writing, that's so good. I love the term seed.
Yeah.
As a seed. Okay. So you would write down the dust thing, mm-hmm, and then you would go throughout your day, go to dinner, have dinner with the parents. Mm-hmm. That was like a nightly thing, right? Mm-hmm. In quarantine. And then pace.
Yeah. A
and
big
then
pacer.
What time would you get in the bathtub to film? This sounds so ridiculous. It sounds, yeah, like you're filming a porno.
Yeah, yeah. The bathroom thing is like a whole other discussion. But I think I would, ideally, I would love to like be posting by like 10 p.m. But however long it took.
Why wouldn't you film during the day?
I don't know. know. I just think that's just how my routine was. Like, I mean, if I had an idea in the middle of the day, I might film it. So, yeah, you can probably find some TikToks where it was, you know, daylight. But I don't know. That was just, like, my routine. It was just – also because before, I would just, like, refresh in my bed at night. Like, after I post, I would just lay on my bed and refresh, which – bad, but
really just to see how people were responding.
Yeah, and I like how many views you can get in an hour, or like how many likes can you get in an hour, and just like seeing like those checkpoints. I was obsessive,
like the instant reward, instant gratification. Yeah. Wow, that is so mind-boggling to me. That's and you were determined.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to Apartments.com for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves. Apartments.com believes a dishwasher does more than just clean plates. It turns your whole place into a time machine by turning the time you would have spent washing dishes into extra time for you. That could mean more time to read, more time to knit, or more time to contemplate the vastness of time itself. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live with an elusive dishwashing slash time expanding device is easy. Apartments.com hosts the most rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
The one thing that has kept me sane throughout the 75 Hard Challenge, and more importantly, has kept me hydrated the most, is Liquid IV. Y'all, when I tell you, I literally crave Liquid IV. Like, the lemon lime flavor lives rent-free in my head. First of all, it just always quenches my thirst, but it is perfectly sour and has that tangy taste to it, and it's just so good. Like, a nice, cold, crisp glass of Liquid IV. Oh my gosh, mwah! Sounds so good. Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. So I actually just taste tested all of the flavors for you guys. The pear, the white peach, the green grape, and the lemon lime. And I have to tell you, I still think lemon lime is my favorite. But my second favorite is green grape. And then my third favorite, believe it or not, is pear. I'm actually shocked by how much I like pear. And then in fourth place for me was the white peach. My favorite thing about Liquid IV is how convenient it is, especially because I am always on the go. I am booked and busy, and I'm sure you guys are too. So being able to pack it so easily in a purse or a carry-on or whatever the case is, like my work bag, I always have a Liquid IV in there because throughout my day, I get so thirsty and nothing truly satisfies my thirst craving other than a Liquid IV. Like, it is so good. I literally want to make one right now. And listen, drinking water is great. Like, I've been drinking so much water while doing the 75 Hard Challenge, but one stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you way better than water alone. And I love it because I feel like it actually revives me. And the best part about it is that there's no artificial sweeteners and zero sugar. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier, sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TK at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop better hydration today using promo code TK at liquidiv.com.
When do you feel like you were most on the hot, like what, I guess, seed or plant that you made on your like TikTok career? What do you feel like you're like, I'm on a high right now? Like, when do you look back and you're like, damn, like I was like, I thought I could rule the world then.
It was all these tub videos I did, which I honestly, I'm forgetting why it started. So I would sit on the edge of my bathtub and I would talk to myself, like these internet comedy videos where it's like you talk to yourself, you flip the camera and you're the other version of you. And I would, the reason I think I did it is because my bathroom tile is like really pretty. I'm just obsessed with my bathroom tile, thanks to my mom who did this. And it was just the best lighting was in my bathroom. I liked the background of the bathroom tile. And then it was just like a natural place to sit.
Yeah.
And I started doing that format of video where you're talking to yourself. And I don't know. I just sat there and then all these people are like, well, why are you sitting in your bathtub? And I'm like, well, you're commenting it. So that's engagement. So I'm going to keep on doing it. Like, because you're confused
by
it.
You're so smart.
I was like, no. And then it became a thing like, oh, this girl in her bathtub, this girl like with these shampoo bottles in the background. Like, why is this girl in her bathtub? Blah, blah, blah. And then anytime, because I think there's a few other creators that also like sit in their bathtub sometimes.
Yeah.
And then I would get tagged in their videos. It's like, wait, Sally Dar is the girl in the bathtub. Why are you?
You guys are bathtub people. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so I don't know. It just kind of became a thing. And then I was like, people like, this is an identifier. And so I just kept doing it. And I don't know. That's
hilarious. You know what would be cool is like one day when you're doing stand up and you have like your own show, the set could be like a bathroom and you're sitting in a bathtub.
Oh, I already want to like recreate that bathroom tile when I own a home.
Yeah.
It'd be so cool. But yeah, I don't know. I was on top of the world. I think this bathtub era, specifically my bathtub in Tennessee, I've done like bathtub things like in LA, whatever. But it was just when I was posting every day. And I used to be really big on like connecting videos. So it was almost like, you didn't understand this video if
unless
you didn't watch the one before. So some people would be like, wait, why is she making a joke about this person? I don't get it. And then people would be like, oh, it's like her thing. Like you don't understand.
You have to watch it all.
Yeah. And I used to be really big on that because I was like, that makes people watch older videos. Uh-huh. I really love like the storyline, like connecting it. Especially because a lot of TikTok videos are just like standalone, like for you page, like
totally.
And so it'd get people to click, and that was really hard to do, to like connect them all and also still make it funny.
So funny because Alicia and I try and do that strategically with vlogs. So we'll make this tiniest thing the biggest deal and make it into like 3 or 4 videos. So we'll be like, okay, the plant or the idea is we're going to Target, right? The first video will be like, oh, I really want to go. We'll like be talking about it, right? And then the next video will be like on our way there, starting to pick stuff out. Maybe we even buy a bunch of stuff, like dicking around in Target. The next video is like the haul of what we got.
Yeah.
And then the final video is like hanging up the shelves we got or like putting the stuff to use.
Yeah.
And it's like, but we reference shit through the past, like all the time, so that people have to go and watch so that they feel like they missed out on, because they did.
Yeah.
On like
the
whole journey.
Yeah. I will say I was watching Alicia's Vlogmas after Christmas. Like I started, whatever. And I remember her doing that. She was like,
I
bought stuff at Target. And then the next video was like what I bought at Target.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I wanted this to be, and it works. It works.
And you want, as a viewer, you're kind of like, dang, I wanted this all in one. But like as a creator, it's so smart because you can get so much content out of like your one idea.
Yeah.
And it like also allows you to be creative. Like, how can I milk the shit out of this like one tiny moment?
Yeah.
And, like, get creative, like make this spicy on its own without like doing, I don't know. It just makes you be creative.
Yeah.
And that's so smart. I've never heard of anyone doing that with TikTok.
Yeah. Well, I don't think, I mean, I don't even know how because TikTok is so, I think that's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't think anyone else really does that.
I don't think
I don't
so
do
either.
It anymore.
Yeah. Why don't you do it anymore?
I literally have a YouTube video that's like 20 minutes long because so many people, I used to get comments where people are like, I don't understand. Like, I don't understand the story that you're telling anymore. Like, it's getting, and I made a YouTube video that was literally called like Sally Dar's Book of Lore or something stupid like that because people used to call it like my lore. And so I made like a 20-minute video where I explain how all of them are connected, and it was like the longest YouTube video to make and to explain because even I was getting confused at a certain point.
Got it.
I was like, I don't even know what I'm talking. So I think that's why I stopped, because I was like, this is getting so confused. Like, I'm pretending to have sex with like a property brother, but I'm also like obsessed with a jade roller. Like, there was like all of these like weird elements, and
like tangents in the story.
Yeah, I was like, I need to just like stop it all together. But I made this YouTube video and I explained it, which I should go back and watch because I don't even remember half the shit I was talking
about. That's hilarious.
But yeah, it was getting to be complicated.
We had the bathroom era, the bathtub era, and now you're in LA and you are taking a gap year from LMU.
Yeah, so I delayed.
Let's debrief this.
Yeah, so the program I did was a 3-year program. I did 2 years, and then I would have been starting my third year this past August.
Oh, shit, you only have 1 more year.
Yeah, well, so I delayed this year. I can delay for up to 2 years until I, like, can't. Like, I would have to start over, technically. So...
Fork, that makes it harder.
Yeah, but also, I don't think I'm going to go back. And I've talked to my parents, but I'm just like, I don't think I'm going to go back.
I don't think you should go back.
But I hate that I, you know, spent money on those 2 years, but like it's what got me out here.
Uh-huh.
And I definitely learned how to like write scripts better, like things that Tulane didn't teach me.
Uh-huh.
So like I definitely learned some stuff. So it wasn't for nothing, but it really sucks just like not getting that degree.
Because
everybody wants, you know,
the degree. Yeah.
But everything good that I have gotten so far in terms of my career has been from the internet. So like not like follow the money, but like follow
like, almost the momentum.
Yeah. And so I'm just like, I'm silly to not, which isn't actually why I didn't delay grad school because of the internet. I actually got a job, which I then quit two months later. But yeah, so now I'm just like following the internet. So I don't think I'm going to go back.
Well, I was just about to say, like, because I normally am like pro education and stuff. But in your scenario, like people who are going to school right now are trying to get where you're at. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they're going to school to like figure out how to get where you're at. Because you're at like an epic spot.
Yeah.
And like I feel like it would almost be, I don't want to be like, I don't want to give bad advice, but I feel like for you, that would be a little bit backpedaling or backtracking.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, that's right? Why I told my parents, I was like, one, I'm like making money from the internet and like I'm repped by an agency, which a lot of people at my school aren't. And like, there's just like a lot of things that I have gotten doing what I'm doing that film school didn't give me. Like it did give me things, but it's, yeah, what you're saying. Like, it's just like,
like you're out here doing the shit you talk about and fantasize in
right,
film school.
Right, like what I wanted film school to give me, I already got somewhere else. So.
I got all of my stuff from not school. Like I definitely learned so much in there, like skills and shit that I wouldn't have in the real world, I guess, unless I like figured it out on my own. Mm-hmm. But I definitely will say like all of the experience and like where I am now is because of like the internships and little jobs and side hustles I did here and there.
Yeah.
Like, which it sucks, but like it just is not your path anymore.
Yeah. And
like,
it's also
right?
just like such a thing with like entertainment in general. You always hear these celebrities that like, took a leap of faith and did all this. And I was just like, I think that this is my leap of faith that like will be on my Wikipedia page if I have one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, this is that moment where people are going to be like, she did what?
She didn't finish, whatever.
Yeah. And I was like, and you know what? It's not like I'm dropping out of high school. It's grad school. It's fine.
It's like your second school.
Right.
You got the Tulane degree, which is the one that really matters.
Yeah.
Okay. So you are now, like, tell me a day in the life now about what you do. And I also want to talk about your stand-up stuff.
So day in the life now, I am full-time internet. Very exciting.
That's awesome. Congrats.
Thank you.
It's big time.
I started doing that full-time, I think, October 2021, but it didn't feel like real because the holidays were like coming up, whatever. I was just kind of like, I'll go home to Tennessee. I was home like Thanksgiving until New Year's. I was home for a long time, and I kind of like went home and was just like reassessing, like just thinking like, okay, internet full time, what am I gonna try to pursue? Like
I did not know this was that recent.
Yeah, so I really feel like truly full-time like starting this month, even though I technically was before, but it just like felt like not real yet because the holidays and I was home for so long.
Was your job that you were doing?
I was a personal assistant to a celebrity.
Okay, and I didn't like it.
Yeah. So I quit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I personally feel like this is my first month like full-time, so it's actually my daily.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah,
that's
it's
awesome.
Exciting. It's really scary.
It is scary.
Yeah.
Why is it scary?
Well, I just think just the nature of social media, just like, you know, wanting to stay relevant. You never know what's going to happen. You never know, like, when brand deals are going to stop coming. You know, just social media is inherently just, like, kind of scary because it's just, like, it's new frontier. Like, it's scary. Yeah.
Do you get most of your money from deals?
Yeah, brand deals.
Okay. And then do you make any money hardly at all on the TikTok, like, creator fund?
Mm-mm.
Do you even have it on?
I do.
Okay.
Which is just like a nice little like, here's a
like
little
spending money.
Yeah. But like, no, I could not survive on that.
Yeah. Mm-mm. The YouTube is like way better with monetization and stuff.
A dream. Yeah. I were a YouTuber over a TikToker, but like my first love was YouTube. Like I was posting on YouTube
You'd
before
be
TikTok.
Great YouTuber.
Thanks. Well, I've tried for years, but one
I
day.
I feel like you should make more like, you know how David Dobrik, he has like bits within his videos.
Yeah.
Like I feel like that would be like your vlogs.
More skit
like,
type
bits.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Which
I was trying to get Connor to do it.
Yeah, he's silly. Which I've listened to your podcast. He is silly for not doing YouTube. And I've told him.
You're silly for not doing though.
I do YouTube. No one cares though.
Okay, but we're gonna get people to care.
Yeah. Yeah. I need consulting advice.
We should do a brainstorm session.
We should.
Yeah,
I love YouTube because I love editing, and like I feel like a lot of people don't like editing, and I love editing.
Oh my god!
Yeah, like
I love this.
It's you know, like when it like clicks and it's like,
yes,
it's just like there's like a rhythm to it, and once you like get the rhythm, then it's just
well, so much of like comedic timing is in the edit.
Yeah, so true. That's another thing with TikTok.
What
like Back, TikTok is still a very janky app, but back when I was first starting, there were so many features that they don't have now. And one of the features is, you know how like if you film a bunch of different clips and then you can adjust the clips like on the
sides.
They used to not have that. So like when you were recording, you would have to like stop it like on the exact right beat. So if you wanted it to like, if I was saying a sentence.
Brutal.
Yeah. And that's so much about people would have a funny idea, but there would be too much lag at the beginning of the sentence. When they were doing conversations with themselves, there would be too much like dead space
in between
because you couldn't cut it. So that's also a reason why I think that I not like that's like a really small reason, but I think one reason my videos did really well is because I would either edit it off so I could get that timing and like take away that dead space, or I would like know to stop recording.
Wait, where would you edit on like
on Premiere?
Oh, Premiere. Oh, yeah, you're a Premiere girly.
Yeah, love Premiere.
Wow. Okay, this is very fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of my I mean, I'm chaotic and I'll do like funny, stupid shit in my vlogs, but like a lot of I enhance it in my edit.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah. And TikTok used to not have that. And I was like, everyone, these are such good ideas, but like the app is not helping you make them.
No. And it makes it harder to execute your idea, and it makes you frustrated and not want to try again.
Yeah.
Because like even for myself, like I'll have a funny TikTok idea, but I'm like, oh, I should probably film that like here and then bring it into Final Cut and then edit it there and then blah, blah, blah. And by the time I do that, I'm like, it feels like a vlog.
Yeah.
Like it shouldn't feel that hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's your take on like TikTok versus Reels and like YouTube Shorts?
Reels?
I'm like, it's so hard.
Okay. Well, so Reels, when it became first became a thing, like, which everything is like so embarrassing until it's not embarrassing.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to like everything is cringy until it takes off.
Well, that's someone told me that once and they were like the first person that started like Uber or LaCroix, like this was stupid.
Yeah.
And embarrassing.
Right.
And now it's like that bitch.
It's, yeah. Yeah. Everything is embarrassing until it's not.
That's so true.
Which is always what I used to tell myself when I was doing TikTok. I was like, one day people will think this is cool. And right now I know I'm in so many group messages and that's fine because one day they're going to be jealous.
That's okay.
It's okay. And so Reels, of course, because I know everyone that I went to high school with or college with can see all of my shit. Like, I know they can see my TikToks if they wanted to find it. But Instagram felt like so, because everyone, not everyone I knew was on TikTok. Everyone I knew was on Instagram. So
oh
I was
my
like,
gosh.
Reels. Like, I know that, like, there's only 1,000 people that I know in real life and, like, you know, 10,000 people that are strangers that, like, I don't know why I'm catering to these 1,000 people that I've met throughout my life. But Reels just felt so like invasive to like be posting my comedy on my
totally agree.
Yeah. So yeah. I didn't do it at first because I was like embarrassed. Jack Martin, Real Jack, he started posting on Reels immediately.
Really?
And he had, I think, I don't know how many followers I had on Instagram, like let's say like a little less than 20K or something. He had 14K or something. He was posting on Reels from the beginning 3 times a day.
Shut up.
Which that's insane, 3 times a day. But he was posting on Reels from the beginning. He went to 100K. Like, he grew so much from Reels. And then another friend, Nick Norcia, I don't know if you know him.
I don't know.
I talked to him at a party, and he did the same thing. Like,
no way.
All of his Instagram followers are from Reels. And I'm like, here I am. I'm like, Reels, got, like, please, Instagram, I'm begging. Like, why don't you like it? So, I don't know. Reels are annoying because for some people it works, and they get so many Instagram followers.
Yeah.
But, like, for me, they don't know.
I think my greatest struggle is, like, which I think could be the same for you. In my head, like, I know what hits for a vlog, for instance. Like, I'm confident in when I have a good idea for YouTube, I'm confident it'll perform well, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, oh, this is a good idea, and it'll perform well, right? Mm-hmm. And that's usually the case. Every so often, I have, like, what I think's a good idea, and then it just does not perform well, whatever.
Yeah.
But with, like, specifically Instagram Reels and TikTok, I'm confused. I'm like, what's a TK's Juicy Pulls TikTok? Like, what's a reel? Like,
yeah.
And are they different?
Right.
And like, why does that live on TikTok and this is on Reels? And I'm like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so
yeah.
hard for me to like, I guess, brand my own reel and my own TikTok. And I'm like, how do you, in your head, how do you do that?
Yeah. Like, I mean, not all the time, but mostly I take a TikTok and I'll remove the watermark and I'll post it on Reels. But like, there are some that like are viral on TikTok that no one cares about on Reels.
Yes.
That's weird.
Or vice versa.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
I got
weird.
That shit that pops off on Reels and it doesn't pop off on TikTok.
Yeah. And I
swear they know.
Yeah. I just don't know what it is. I don't know. I think Jack does a lot of POVs on TikTok and on Reels. And I do think that Reels loves POVs.
I think that you should do like hone in on hone in on the millennial Gen Z girl, like cringe blogger on Instagram, because that's where it lives.
Yeah.
So be like you should do like OOTD, like outfits of the week, and just do like forking, like make fun of, like,
right, make fun,
make
of,
fun
yeah,
of
yeah,
like Instagrammers.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be so good.
Yeah,
on
maybe
Instagram.
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Because TikTok is like definitely more like Instagram is like more like curated and polished, and like TikTok you can get like outlandish, like you could get like a guy like, you know, cutting carrots in his house like in the middle of nowhere and it goes viral, whereas like maybe not on Instagram. Like it feels like Instagram needs to be a little bit more like relatable and like not as outlandish. Does that make sense? This
yeah,
is me
like
trying to figure it out.
No,
but
no,
I don't
me
know
me too. Yeah. I think TikTok, like I could post like a random clip of us like literally screaming and it would like might pop off.
Yeah.
And Reels, like I in my head I need to like make sure it goes to the beat of the song and like do something a little bit more aesthetic, like of my nails,
yeah,
or something.
It's
does that make
more
sense?
Aesthetic. Yeah. All of the Reels that pop up on my Explore page are all aesthetic things, but like I'm not like an aesthetic
but that's
influencer,
not, you
so
make
I don't
fun
know
of
what
the aesthetic.
Make fun of the aesthetics. Yeah.
You should
maybe
come
that's
to
what
my
it
house.
Be.
And like do shit there at the couch.
Yeah.
That would be
at the
so
couch,
good.
That would be fun. Speaking of which, my friend Frankie literally talks about your couch all the time. Literally. Well, because I think she followed.
I think I just followed her on Instagram.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
She'll be so excited. She followed your room. She knew your roommate before you. And she's like, oh, I want to sit on her couch. I'm like,
she should come over.
Literally, I was like, Frankie, just ask her if she would let you sit on her couch.
I'm dead. I swear, like, my couch literally does things for like people.
Yeah. Well, Frankie's one of them.
It's crazy.
I can't wait for her to listen to this part.
Oh, my gosh. She should totally come over. I'll
she
have
would
you guys
love
over.
To. She's That's... so sweet. Well, yeah, you met her. She
yeah,
was there that night.
She's
yeah.
so sweet. That was such a fun day.
It was so fun.
Yes.
I literally didn't expect it to turn into what
Sally
it did.
Sally Dar and I literally went all over LA.
I was so drunk.
I was drunk too.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I got really drunk.
Yeah.
And then we ended up at karaoke, and a guy devoted his song to Sally Dar.
Yeah, that was insane.
He sang
what did he say?
Wagon Wheel.
Yeah, rock me.
And he
rock
goes,
me
he
Sally.
Goes, rock me, Sally. He was like, rock
Ew.
Me, Sally.
You know, just once I want him to be attractive. No, I just once I wanted to be an attractive man. It's like I look at my DMs, I'm like, yep, he was.
No, he was the guy at this karaoke bar. Like everyone's like young, like just graduated college, like that energy. He was like the one, like slightly, like not too old, but like slightly old, like a little creepy in the corner.
Right.
And he was like, we were like kind of messing with him. We're like, what are you gonna sing? Like, we're like, why are you here by yourself? And he's like, oh, like Wagon Wheel, whatever. And we introduce ever like ourselves to him.
Yeah.
And he found out your name. But why was he so obsessed with you?
I just think that that's my demographic of men that love me. Like, I really think, you know, he's that kind of man is the man that's like in my DMs, which I love him.
No,
love them. Thank you.
Keep
love
liking. Myself. Keep subscribing.
No, I love them. They're so nice. But I'm also like, you know,
no, he literally
we're not gonna
grabs
date.
The mic and he starts singing Wagon Wheel and we're like, hey, mama, rock
that was,
me.
And also he remembered the Dar too, which
no.
was like the most insane
yeah, and then
part.
He goes, rock me, Sally Dar.
It was insane.
We were dying. I was actually dying.
Yeah,
and I'm so glad I got it on video.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't believe you got that on video. But then we had a hard out after that. Had to leave.
Had to leave. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about comedy. What is, like, I'm so fascinated by stand-up. Explain the whole journey of that to me, because that is terrifying.
Yeah. So it's a very short journey. I mean, it's still happening.
Yeah.
But I'm just starting. So I have a friend named Alex that I went to high school with. And in high school, we used to do these things called, like, coffee houses. So I went to boarding school, and there was like
what?
Nothing to do on the weekends.
Where did you go to boarding school?
It's in Connecticut.
Why?
Because I wanted to. I read books and I was like, can I go? And I begged my parents and they believed me.
Okay. So you weren't like a crazy kid and they shipped
no,
you off.
No, I
you
wasn't a like... bad kid. I like literally read a book series and got so obsessed. And I think my parents thought it was like a funny phase
no,
that I was
like
I want to apply. And they were like, okay, sure. Like apply. You crazy
It's very
kid.
Serena Vanderwoodson of you.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yes. She was one of my...
inspirations.
Yeah, inspirations for it all. But yeah, so I went to boarding school, which is a longer story, but...
Okay, have you done like a whole series of that on your TikTok?
No, people ask about that too.
Come on!
I know. I just like... I don't know. Because sometimes I try to like... I obviously like posting online and being an influencer is like giving a lot of yourself and like who you are as a person. And there are certain things that I would like... I would never talk about, like, who I'm dating seriously yeah. or, like, certain things that I wouldn't give up. And, like, not that I would happily talk about, like, boarding school or, like, these cooler things that I've done. But it also feels like I'm here to do comedy and I'm here to, make a joke that is, like, detached from me. You. Not all the time because it's, like, I want to make fun of myself and my personal experiences. But sometimes it feels like – not like a cop-out, but it's, like, I want to make things that anyone could be saying and it could still be funny.
Got it.
I don't know. It's –
I think you got to get that out of your head.
I guess.
I understand it because I feel like you're challenging yourself because inevitably those things, those crazy life experiences are going to be funny. But like, dude, use it to your advantage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are like, that's crazy. That
when
you
people,
went.
It's funny that like when people, like somehow it'll be, I don't ever like say it, but like there'll be like something in the background. Like I have like a thing in my like little office in my apartment that has like where I went to school and people will comment being like, wait, what? And like people are like so confused because they're like, you went to this school.
No, you have to talk about it.
I guess.
Totally. Okay, so you met a friend that went to boarding school.
Yeah, so we used to do these things on the weekends in boarding school that was like called Coffee House. And it was, you know, just like people singing or like reading poetry or anything because there was like nothing to do in this like tiny town. And so people would just like get together and like sing and like listen to people sing. And so she lives here and she was like, I want to do a coffee house where – people can like sing, perform, but I want you to do stand up.
Like a talent show.
Yeah. She was like, you're going to tell jokes.
Shut up.
Yeah. And I was like, okay. Like,
when was this?
This was before Thanksgiving. This was probably like before Halloween.
Okay.
Yeah. And so she was like, you're going to write like 10, 15 minutes. Like it's going to be all friends. Some people you don't know, but like all good company. Like
great
it'll be great.
Great idea, by the way, for creatives to do like a coffee house moment.
Yeah. One of my other friends, she wants to do it again because she like does music and stuff. So I wrote jokes and I told him it was really more so just like I didn't know anything. I didn't know what to do. Like I didn't know how to like write my notes. I didn't know how to like structure a joke because like structuring that is so different from like a TikTok, obviously. Uh-huh. So I did that. It was great. It was a great experience. Like everyone was so kind. Like everyone like laughed. And, you know, even if it wasn't funny, they were still cheering me on. It was great. So that was like
perfect
kind
space
of
to start.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And then my next step was like going and doing an open mic. Normally you pay like, you know, $5 for 5 minutes at a club, whatever. And I kept talking to my friend Kaylin, who does stand up, and I was like, oh, like, let's go together, blah, blah, blah. And it just was never working out. And then like a week before I went home for Thanksgiving, I was just like, I have to go. Before I go to Tennessee, I have to go do this. I can't rely on anyone. Like, I have to go by myself. Yeah. And so I just signed up one night, and Connor came with me, which is the same day that he was on this podcast.
And he went.
That was the open mic.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And this is like the reason I don't know. So I did that open mic and it was when I was signing up. This is just like an interesting tidbit because when I was signing up, I think it was I signed up for a Tuesday and I was looking at their Monday. So this club was like open from noon until midnight. Every single hour, there's like 12 slots, right? And so you can see all of the names of people that sign up. Every single name, because you can like pretty much guess, every single name was a man, except there were 77 people signed up, clearly like some like gender neutral names, but you can like find them on Instagram and like figure out like who they are because they're all public because they all want to be famous. There were 77 people signed up. Of those 77 people, only 5 were women.
Shut the fork up.
Yeah. So more than anything, I looked on that website and I saw that and I was like, I have to sign
yeah.
up. I was like, I have to sign up. I was like, if I'm not trying stand up, like, then who is? Like, if I don't have the confidence to like post her shit daily online, if I don't have the confidence to do it, like, then what young girl out there is? Like, so I was like, I have to do this on like behalf
of the little girls.
No, literally, I was like getting emotional. I was like, I have to go to this open mic, and of course, I go there. It's all men. They're all telling jokes about like porn and dicks and like all of this. I'm like, of my jokes are about like my gynecologist and my IUD, like. Clearly, like, more written for women. But the good thing that came out of it, one, it was nice. Connor came, and it was fun for us to, like, see what it was like. And then we met this guy.
He didn't do it, right?
He just wanted to watch.
I'm not kidding you. If you don't invite me to the next one.
I will.
I'll be your biggest cheerleader. Okay,
I will.
Good. I've never been to, like, anything comedy.
Well, it's so funny. Like, paying to see, like, so normally if you go pay for comedy, you're paying to see like John Mulaney or whatever. And it's like, there's a lot.
It's big jump. That's okay.
But it's still interesting. So me and Connor met this guy named Zach, who I think he recognized Connor from TikTok. And then we became friends with him. And he's the guy that I was saying earlier that he's like, I'm going to be a stand-up comedian. I'm going to figure it out.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. And so he was really helpful just like, because I don't know anything about that world.
Like
I
helping talk about, navigate little
yeah,
things.
Yeah, like what do you do? Who do you talk? Like what do you, how do you get out of open mics? Like what do you, like I just don't know any of that. I could talk about the internet all day, but like he would pick my brain about the internet and I would pick his brain about
love
like the stand-up scene, which he's new to it too. So it's like, I don't know. So it was really helpful. So he got me my first show, which I did, I forget how many weeks ago, beginning of like mid-January or something. And it was-
That's amazing.
Yeah. So people paid to come see.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It was fun. But it was like, again, subpar comedy, you know, like not everyone was that funny. I hope I was one of the funny. There was like a band playing the floor beneath us that was like, why is a band playing? Like,
yeah.
It was like very, like, of course it was disjointed and like not the best, but it was, what do you expect?
Uh-huh.
So yeah, that's my stand-up journey. I haven't done another show since.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So how what was it like when you went up on the open mic and you paid the $5? Like, did it go better than you thought, or were you terrified, or you know what I mean? Like, how did it go?
It was honestly like better than I thought, because open mics, like a lot of people will get up there and they'll be like, hey, I didn't write anything down. Like, I'm just gonna kind of talk. So like I was like one of the few people that came like prepared, like with like, this is what I wrote and memorized, this is what I'm gonna say. So like it was like fine. Like once you're there and you see how some of these like men like get up there and are just like, oh, like I don't know, like I was like having sex with this girl the other day and like this funny, like then like they'll just they don't have anything written down, like,
yeah,
like there's no joke structure. So like once I was like, oh, this is like so casual, I was like, this is fine. The worst part of it is like, what man is gonna laugh at like an IUD? They don't know what an IUD is, probably.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so it was more so like that, but I think they like I figured out from that like what the men actually found funny, like the one thing that they found funny, which was like this whole like end of the joke about this waiter that I hooked up with, they thought was funny.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they were like, that's funny. And I was like, okay, cool. So now I know what men think is
yeah,
funny.
Respond to. You know what's so interesting is like, which is kind of in your favor, believe it or not, is not very many females being in the space is actually awesome, because there's not that many female like comedians that I would actually pay to go watch their show, unless there was like a podcaster that's like they're funny, but like there's not many female comedians that have like stand-up shows and like go on tour, like whatever. I don't know if that's something you would want to do.
Yeah.
But what's cool is women love to buy shit. They love to be like, oh, I'm going to the show. They love an event. They love to get ready. So that's awesome, because I feel like, I mean, my brother's not the type of guy to be like, oh, I love this comedian, let me buy his ticket. Like, girls do that.
Yeah, that's
right?
So true.
So that's kind of awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of weird how it's like, it's such a boys' club. And like,
well, pretty much everything in the world is.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty
except
much everything.
Except like YouTubers now.
Yeah.
But YouTubers, like, the most rich YouTubers this year were all men. It pissed me off.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, huh. Us women gotta get our shit together.
But yeah, it's such a boys' club. And like, in a weird way, it like works to some women as advantage, which like if there's like a lineup and they're like, okay, well, because it, like if we're deciding between like there's eight people and only five can go on and there's only one girl out of those eight people, then they're like, okay, well, you're going to go in.
Yeah.
Because they need a girl.
Yeah.
So like sometimes it works to your advantage in a weird way, which is like shitty.
Yeah.
But like also,
use
thanks,
it.
I guess.
Yeah. Like, thanks, I guess, question
yeah.
mark. Cool. That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, and I don't know where it's going to go. I don't even know if that's what I want to do. Like, that, the whole thing of me doing that show is I really wanted to get up there and, like, be like, yes, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I'm chasing that high now. I want to do it again. And I don't – in that same feeling I was describing with TikTok, where I was like, this is going to work because I'm going to do it and it's what I want to do.
Uh-huh.
I don't feel that same thing for stand-up, which is what – the feeling I wanted to feel, like, this, like, weird, like – I wanted to feel like so compelled to like write the next like 5 minutes and
uh-huh.
like, do it again. And I don't feel that, but that also doesn't mean I won't do it again, because I think it's just like a new skill I need to learn.
It's kind of like training your dating muscle, but like training your stand up muscle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it doesn't have to be, but it probably is training a muscle that could help a future thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't really know where it's going to go, but I'm proud of myself, because it's the kind of thing too that I was like, I'm going to do this at some point, because if I die and I don't try stand-up, I will hate myself.
Me too.
And I just knew I needed to try it. Same with like all of my other, like, I know Connor wants to try it at some point.
I want Connor
like,
to do it so badly.
Jack tried it, like, and I know, same thing. Like, they just like, I need to do it at some point to know I could do it. My roommate Megan loves stand-up. Like, at some point she's needs to try it before she dies.
Totally,
and I was like,
should.
This is something I need to do before I die. And if not now, then when? And so I did it. And we'll see if I do it again.
Good for you.
It was like a bucket list thing.
No, that's awesome.
But, you know, maybe in 10 years that's all I do. I don't know.
So speaking of in 10 years, like, where do you see yourself in the comedy world? Like, who do you want to be? Like, who do you want to be like? Or what do you want to be doing? Like, I know you're really interested in writing and stuff, but like, I'm like, do you want to be on camera? Do you want to be on stage?
Yeah.
Give me the
I have so many different, so like every month is a different thing. I go through so many different iterations.
That's
so
okay.
Like, when I'm in my more like writing, like film bro, like don't want to be on camera phase, I want to be Greta Gerwig. Like, I want to be Greta Gerwig.
Whoa.
I love her.
Okay.
Yeah, but like, clearly Greta Gerwig is not like posting about dumb shit online.
Yeah.
But when I'm in my phase that I'm like, I want to like toss my phone into the ocean and just like write movie scripts and like fall in love with the director and like make movies, like, I want to be Greta Gerwig.
Really?
Yeah. And then sometimes I'm like, well, I want to do stand up and like wear like, I don't know. I just want to do stand-up. Then, like, I want to be, like, you know, someone like Amy Schumer or any of, you know, funny women out there. And then sometimes I'm like, well, I want to write and produce a TV show. I'm like, oh, I'll be like Mindy Kaling or like, you know. And
I could so see that.
And she's like on camera, but like, she's like a face, you know, but like isn't like act, like a, doesn't label herself as an actress.
I can see that the most, actually.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, because I see you doing both, actually. And I see myself doing both. Like, I like being in front and behind the camera. And I think people that enjoy being behind the camera sometimes are the best in front of the camera as well, because they see the vision.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, when you write something and you're like, no, this is how it, no one's going to perform it better than you.
Yeah.
You know
and I used to be like, oh, I want to be like Greta Gerwig. I don't want to be on camera, whatever. And I'm like, I'm, think I have, anyone on the internet has to have some kind of ego to some extent.
Oh,
so I'm
yeah.
like, I'm lying to myself. Like,
yeah.
I want to be on camera.
Exactly.
Like, that's, you know, so I don't know. It really depends on the day. I think that there is a blend of all of it, because I think, in my mind, I always try to reckon, like, new Hollywood, new frontier of, like, internet and, like, that whole world, which is, like, you know, and then, like, traditional Hollywood, like, doing stand-up, going to clubs, writing scripts, getting them made, and, like, that's becoming, like, more and more blurred, like, as time goes on. And, like,
so
trying
blurry.
To, like, reckon those two things in my mind, because, like, one is, like, deemed as more respectable, and, like, people are, like, the internet's cringy, and I'm, like, well, one day, the 6-year-olds who are in charge of, you know, they're going to be fans of the influencers they grew up watching. So I don't know. I always try to reckon those two things. And I think that there's like a blend of like doing what I do and then also like winning an Oscar or something.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to like figure that out.
Yeah. It's an interesting, specifically comedy. I'm so far removed from like there. Like, for instance, I'm in like the lifestyle world. So I feel like we've kind of seen more so like people, like, for instance, Lauren DIY, and she, like, now hosts an HBO show. Like, she's mm-hmm. the host of Craftopia. And we've seen a lot of that, like, crossover of, like, digital people, like, being sought after by the traditional media to, like, pull those numbers and stuff, and which is awesome. But with comedy, I feel like specifically with TikTok, because TikTok, like, allowed this amazing thing with comedy, I haven't seen that, like, crossover as much.
Yeah.
Besides, like, I guess, like, Cody Ko and people like that.
Yeah, but they, like, still very much, like, live on the internet. Where you see it the most, actually, is Twitter. Like, there's a lot of Twitter comedians that are, like...
Whoa!
Like, you know, the boys on SNL now, Please Don't Destroy.
Don't they... Aren't they, like, writers? Are they on it a little bit?
Yeah. So they're, like, kind of, like, the... I would... Like, kind of like new Lonely Island.
Got
like,
it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they, like, posted on Twitter a lot of their comedy videos and are on SNL now. And then there's someone, like, do you know, like, Rachel Sennett is?
Uh-uh.
She's, like, a Twitter, started on Twitter, and then she was in this movie, Shiva Baby.
Uh-huh.
And so there's a lot of just, like, and then Grace Kulenschmidt, do you know who she is?
I want to, like, learn
give you
all
a
about comedy stuff.
Grace Kulenschmidt, who I think started on Twitter, and she was just in the new season of Search Party.
Whoa.
So there's, like, a lot of Twitter comedians that, like, get writing jobs or, like, get some kind of like just any kind of role. And so right now I'm like really into Twitter for that reason. And they're all like New York Twitter comedians.
Well, yes, they're all New York. And specifically Connor's done a great job with Twitter.
I think he has.
So do you think that you would a dream of yours be to be on SNL?
I mean, no one would
obviously
say
would say no.
No one would say no
but
to
like,
SNL.
Is that like Because no. Connor was like bananas about SNL.
I think like it's just like one of, if you like being funny, it's a childhood dream that of course I would love to be on SNL, but it's not something I'm like actively pursuing. Like I'm not like trying to take an improv class.
See, because your group, in my opinion, the Brooke, Connor, Jack, you, is like in my head going to be the next like cast on SNL.
That's so kind. That'd be great.
No, I'm being dead ass. Like, I just don't see. I mean, obviously, there's going to be other people that pop up here and there that like did a more traditional comedy route, but I don't see why like a TikTok comedy person wouldn't be the next person on SNL.
Yeah.
It makes zero sense why it wouldn't be that.
It doesn't make sense because so many of their jokes, I'm like, this is like, why are you using the word?
They're also
chuggy?
A little off.
Like, that's so like. 5 months ago,
and they're,
you know?
Yeah, and they're off.
They're off.
Yeah,
which
they
I think,
need more like young people, yeah, like y'all.
Those boys from Please Don't Destroy, I think, will kind of give new life to it. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would love to be on SNL, but it's not something. I don't know.
Well, here's the other thing. I am like, I watch everything. I am a great consumer. Like, you'll tell me something that's good to watch, and I'll watch it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I watch streaming services. I watch movies. I'm all over the internet. All the things. I'm not kidding you. I don't give two shits about SNL. I'm just going to be honest. Like, I really don't. The only time I did was when Kim K was on. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I just want to see Kim and like, Pete kiss. Like, literally.
Yeah.
So, but I care about comedians on the internet. So if they, like, it would be so smart for them to put internet people on. Some comedy people are probably, like, so cringing right now. But I'm like, if they would put some internet people, like Cody or Connor or you or Brooke or whoever on SNL, I would actually watch.
Yeah. Well, there's so many things too that like are viral online that I'm like, why didn't they make a joke about this week? Like, why didn't they make a joke about like, when, remember when like the whole couch guy thing was happening?
Yes.
Like, why didn't they make a joke about, like, they could have easily done a skit.
But their demo isn't that, I guess.
I know. And so then I'm like,
their demo could be us.
I'm like, they're writing to our parents still. So like, that's why they're not making a joke about couch guy. That's why they're not making a joke about West Elm Caleb. But I'm like, if you want, if they wanted to get.
West Elm Caleb would be a perfect joke.
Yeah. But if they made jokes about that, then like our parents at home would be like, I don't understand this skit. So I don't know.
I feel like they almost need like more. Like, maybe two segments are TikTok humor, and then the rest is, like, to the parents.
Yeah.
But if you want a whole new generation of people tuning in.
Yeah. Well, what I think is that they have a TikTok, and, like, they'll do, like, some, like, BTS stuff. And I'm like, why don't you do skits on your SNL TikTok that is drawing from, like, why don't you do a parody of Couch Guy with Pete Davidson on your SNL TikTok?
Oh, my gosh, that'd be perfect.
Doesn't have to be on TV.
They should have someone like you running
Yeah. Believe me, I know. I'm like, let me run your TikTok. Like, I could write bits for you using the faces of like the
your
SNL actors we love.
Yeah.
But you're doing jokes that are on that live
that,
on TikTok.
That would go forking bananas.
I know. Could you imagine
if Pete
Davidson doing a couch guy thing or West Elm, like pretending to be
Pete
West Elm?
Davidson was West Elm Caleb.
That's
that
what I'm saying.
That would go uber viral.
I know, and I don't know why they're not doing that. Like, they're just like, I don't know
genius.
Why. But are you like, I don't know.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's actually, I mean, not like my dream, but I would love to be like some kind of, because I
like
know the
catalyst.
Internet. Yeah, like I want to do something that's like more like traditional Hollywood or traditional comedy, whatever, mm-hmm. which would be something like SNL or like late night, whatever. But like, I know a lot about the internet and like TikTok. So like merging the two, I think a perfect, if I were to start a job, would be something like that where it's like, let me run your TikTok.
That is fascinating.
Would be, I think, such a perfect job for me. But
so fascinating. That's why I feel the exact same way when they're portraying an influencer like in a new show. Like, for instance, Emily in Paris.
Like, you're like, why didn't you consult anyone? Literally.
I'm like, call me. I'll give
call
it to
me.
You for
call
free.
Me.
I'll
call
tell
me.
You. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So I, like, Alicia and I have talked several times about writing shows, like about actual, like Gossip Girl, but influencer version or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that would be so good because we actually know.
Yeah.
Versus like some old, no offense, but like some old dude trying to write like Emily in Paris.
Yeah.
I don't even know who writes it. But like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Brooke and I talk about that too. Like, we talk about like, okay, Broad City is like definitely like a little bit more like millennial. But me and Brooke are like, what if it was Broad City, but in LA and like influencer culture?
Yes.
Like, you show up to a party and like your Twitter crush is there and like you're trying to figure out how to talk to him. Or like, you know, someone didn't tag you. Like, you know, just like
or,
things that you
yes,
don't.
Entourage influencer version.
Yeah.
Like.
So many. Yes.
So
and
good.
No one's doing it, or they've tried, I guess, Emily in Paris, whatever. No one's doing it because they don't know. Like, because the people that are like running it all are too old to understand.
Uh-huh. And they're too, I feel like sometimes they think they're so knowledgeable in what they do, which they are, but they don't want to ask for help from like the actual source. They're like, haha, see, these silly influencers. Like they just go based off what they see on Instagram. I'm like, you don't actually understand the.
Yeah.
I feel like such an idiot, like trying to explain this right now because people are like,
No.
Do you know
what I mean, though?
Yes. Yeah.
It's very frustrating because it's like the TV, even did you watch Sex Lives of College Girls?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like that show is like written for college girls or girls right out of college. Like it is written for us.
Uh-huh.
And then they do things like there was that weird, they were like buying dresses in the store and she's like, oh my God, like fire emoji, tongue waving emoji.
Gosh.
I was like, who wrote this? I was like, you're writing this for our age and like we don't talk like that. Like
yeah.
It's the most frustrating thing.
Yeah.
Like what?
It's so funny too because I feel like specifically in like the new like Sex and the City. Mm-hmm. Have you watched it?
I actually haven't, which is so bad.
Anyway, in the new Sex and the City and in Sex Lives of College Girls, they're trying to be so woke, but it's cringe. I'm like, that's just how it is in real life. Like, why are we trying to make it a big deal?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so, I don't know. It's just, I wish that, it was, I guess, and it's hard to do so, but
yeah.
I think that a little help from, I guess, someone who's actually in the position would be great.
Right. Which, have you seen the movie Eighth Grade?
No. Should I watch that?
By Bo Burnham made it. And it is like, when it comes, because he comes from the internet. Like, he started on YouTube, did Vine. Like, he understands the internet. He's like 30, so uh-huh. He's a little bit like more, he's millennial. But like, understands the internet, understands like what social media is like and growing up around it. Eighth Grade is probably like the closest representation of like what it's like for a girl to like, go to school.
Whoa, you
need to watch it. And like the reason it's the closest is because he was in it. So I'm like, why are people making these things that aren't? I mean, Sex Lives. It's not about Sex Lives of College Girls. Isn't about like social media, but it's like
I thought was pretty good. Like
yeah.
I liked the show.
But the shows that are about social media, like Emily in Paris, I'm like, well, why didn't you ask someone?
It's so off. Yeah,
that is an influencer.
Emily
but,
in
like,
Paris is so bad.
Yeah, but like the reason Bo Burnham Eighth Grade is so good is because like he was a young kid in his bedroom posting on YouTube,
and he knew,
so he can write a young girl in her room posting on YouTube.
Yeah, I need to watch that. But
yeah.
Anyway, Sally, I guess my last question is because this podcast is called Making Moves. What moves are you trying to make right now in your career?
And I knew this question was coming. And I know my answer for my personal life,
okay,
my career life.
What is it?
Personal life, I'm like really trying to date more.
Me too.
Good.
Not us running into your actual date out the other day, your Bumble date.
I think, and I was so drunk, I think I asked him like 10 times if he was still seeing this girl. And I had to ask my friends, I was like, did anyone hear his answer?
I was like, who's Sally talking to? They're like, her Bumble date or her Hinge date or
yeah.
whatever. I was like, what the
yeah.
heck?
Wish I remembered that conversation, but hopefully I looked somewhat cool. I don't know.
No, you did.
But I'm trying to go on more dates because I'm like a firm believer in you can't complain about the dating apps if you're not using them, or you can't complain about like dating if you're not
yeah.
like trying. So I'm like really trying to try
Love
to put
that.
Myself out there. Like at least one date a month is my goal.
Yeah.
Weird,
me too.
Maybe a weird New Year's resolution, but
no,
like
that's a good goal. It's
yeah,
hard. It's
yeah.
hard in LA.
But career wise, like if you asked me a month ago, I would have said the whole stand up thing, but now I'm just kind of like, I wish there was a sign that told me that's what I should be doing. So right now, because I'm really feel like I'm full-time influencers, I'm really just trying to figure out my daily routine, focus on consistency, which is, you know, just such a thing with influence. Consistency is key. Trying to like focus on that because it is my job now. And also trying to reckon with myself personally, like working on things that I don't post on the internet. So whether it is like working on a script or like writing stand-up or things that I'm not posting on the internet and being okay with not, you know, like I post, therefore I am. Like being okay with like just because you're not posting doesn't mean you're not working on other things.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like really trying to figure
so
that out
to
too.
This. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is just...
See, people always get like so pissed when I like post a vlog 2 or 3 weeks later than like, for instance, my friends who I was with like posted it.
Right.
And I'm like, you don't understand. Like I've been working.
Yeah.
Not even doing anything regarding me.
Yeah.
Like working on a completely different avenue. And it's frustrating because the internet's so instant, like, reward.
Yeah.
And, like, whatever I've been working on or whatever isn't.
Yeah. So, yeah, long-term gratification is, like, a lifelong struggle, especially when you're an influencer, but, like, really trying to...
And when you're, like, Gen Z. Yeah.
Yeah. Remind myself that, like, the things that take longer, will be worth it in the end. So trying to find that balance and
oh, I like that.
Find a daily routine and date.
Date. Okay, yeah. Perfect. There we have it. Where can everyone follow you, Solidar?
At Solidar Griffin on Instagram and TikTok, right? That's where I post. And YouTube, Twitter is at Solidar. Letterbox, if you're a film bro, at Solidar. but yeah, Solidar, Solidar Griffin, everywhere.
Amazing. Yeah, everyone follow her, check her out, follow her TikToks. They're forking hilarious. I'm obsessed. I love the Ted Cruz face.
Oh, that was actually my favorite.
That's the best. Phase. Anyway, you could go check it out so you know what we're talking about. Be sure to follow me, rate, review, do all the things, and make sure and make someone's day this week. Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.